strokes rising among people of working age. They don't know why. The number of working men and women, according to a study taken in England, showing an incredible rise of strokes. And in a moment, Dr. Joel Wallach joins me with his Dead Doctors Don't Die series. He's part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Joel Wallach back with us with his monthly series of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and lots to talk with him about. Joel, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, George. Always great to be with you, brother.
Oh, my gosh. I have so many emails from listeners who saw you up on the CoastToCoastAM.com website, knowing you were our guest tonight for a couple hours, and they're sending me questions like crazy for you. So in addition to just talking, I'm going to read off some emails for you, and maybe you can help some folks.
Sure.
Unbelievable. But a couple weeks ago, they came out with a study that said too many supplements could hurt you. What's that all about?
Well, of course, you have to appreciate, George, that the pharmaceutical industry and the medical doctors say that because people are pretty smart. The average person is pretty smart. You know, they take a drug for 30 years, they don't get better from their health problem or their pain, and so they start looking around for options. And so they constantly come out with these kind of studies, which are funded by the pharmaceutical industry, which say vitamins and minerals are dangerous. Back in 2008, they actually published for the first time what they call adverse reports events, where people call in to the FDA and say, you know, I took this vitamin, I got a rash, or I took this pharmaceutical and got killed. And the first year that they did that, the number of adverse events for vitamins and minerals and herbs was 600 in the United States. 400 were for herbs and 200 were for vitamins and minerals. That same year, 2008, the adverse events reports were from or for pharmaceuticals was almost 500,000, and these were just calls that came in unsolicited by the FDA or to the FDA by the general public, 500,000, and almost all those were fatalities, and none of the 600 adverse events reports for herbs, vitamins, minerals were fatalities. So I'll go with the vitamins
and
minerals.
Yeah, me too. And I've got to tell you, Joel, I am convinced now more than ever that your health, taking care of your health, is probably the most critical thing to do. Because, you know, I've seen people over the last couple weeks come to me from St. Louis and other places that I know some folks, and they're not feeling well. And I'm giving them recommendations, and I'm telling them, you know, go to criticalhealthnews.com and, you know, and do what you have to do. Yeah, don't give up your doctor. Now, you would say something else about that. We'll get into that. But you know, take care of yourself, because there are so many people that rely on other people that if you break down, you give up on all of them. And I'm obsessed with this now. What did you do to me?
Well, knowledge is power. And of course, when you realize that ultimately you are responsible for your own health, and the medical system has failed America terribly. You know, any group of people, George, that can kill, injure, and infect 15 million of the customers at workplace every year and not get an OSHA ticket, there's something wrong. They kill, injure, and infect. This is according to the Center for Disease Control, a federal agency, the Journal of the American Medical Association. This came out in February 5th, 2007. It was a full-page article in the USA Today newspaper, and it said that medical doctors each year annually kill, injure, and infect 15 million patients in their hospitals and clinics. Now, if a foreign enemy were to do that, if Iran or North Korea were to send over intercontinental ballistic missiles with biological weapons and kill, injure, and infect 15 million Americans, it'd be war. Well, here's one trait that does it every year in America, and nobody raises an eyebrow except you and me.
Well, that's true. And overprescribing, and the deaths from getting too much medication are at an epidemic level, aren't they?
Yes. Well, polypharmacy, where patients will get multiples of prescriptions from a half a dozen different specialists. And we run into doctors who do this all the time, George, and we look at the average patient. It's really very, very scary. I would say that the average patient is on, if they have something like arthritis or high blood pressure or heart disease, they can wind up on the average of 27 prescriptions. 27 prescriptions. And you wouldn't do that, obviously, for your car. You wouldn't do that
right.
For your dog, certainly. So why do people do it for themselves? And that's because of insurance. I think insurance has been one of the most terrible things for human health is health insurance. People don't get second opinions. You know, you get a new roof put on your house, you're going to get five different bids. You'll render it down to maybe the best two possibilities. You go to the Better Business Bureau and say, any of these people get complaints
That's
about
right,
them?
Right.
You go to the same doctor every year for 25, 30, 40 years, and no matter what they say, you do it without getting a second opinion. I just find it amazing that they'll say, well, we're going to cut your heart out and put a dead guy's heart in. Oh, okay. We're going to cut your knees out and put a device in there. Okay. They never say, well, that's interesting. Let me check it out before we go that far. People never do that.
Dr. Joel Wallach's our special guest for the next couple hours. We're going to take your calls with him next hour as well. Joel, I always want you to tell people a little bit about yourself and your background, because every once in a while I'll get an email from somebody who says, hey, he's a veterinarian. Well, yes, you've worked on animals before, but tell us how you got involved in human health.
Well, again, George, as you point out, the thing that makes me different is I do have a degree in agriculture. My major is in animal husbandry and nutrition. I am a veterinarian. Both degrees are from the University of Missouri. And I do have a postdoctoral fellowship in comparative pathology from Washington University, which is the equivalent of a PhD in comparative pathology. One project from the National Institutes of Health, I did over 20,000 autopsies and 10 million chemistries. The book is in the Smithsonian Institute as a national treasure that came out of that 1,200 pages. And I also became a naturopathic physician. In 1982, was licensed in Oregon. I've been licensed in Oregon and in California ever since. And my patients say I treat them like dogs, but they do seem to get better. Now, all this started out when I was 4 years old. You say, what? Yeah, 4 years old, George. I had what you would call Tourette syndrome. I had a facial tick, you know, facial grimaces, and making noise and oinking like a pig and everything. And my friends thought I was possessed. It was really bad.
Because they just spurt it out, don't they?
Yeah. It just comes out.
Can't help it.
It has no meaning. You say words and things. Thank goodness I didn't know any cuss words. I didn't say cuss words.
Oh, my God. We'd be hitting the button all night tonight.
Yeah. And it got progressively worse. By the time I was 9 years old, I was really disabled. And again, my friends were just sure that I was possessed. And for some reason, my mom took me to an eye doctor, a lady eye doctor by the name of Mary Jane Skeffington in St. Louis, Missouri. She was the top doctor, they said, in the United States. Of course, every doctor says they're a top doctor. And she said, well, I can't find anything wrong with him, but looks like his eyelashes are real long, and they're hitting his glasses, curling back, and tickling his eyeballs. And that's what's causing all the stuff.
Huh.
Well, George, I'm 9 years old, and I'm not that stupid. I said, no, that can't be. And so what are we going to do about them? And so she said, well, here's a Maybelline eyelash brush. I want you to retrain your eyelashes so they go straight instead of curling back. Well, again, I'm not that dumb, and so I knew that couldn't be true. So the next day in school, when everybody else went to lunch, I went into the library. I'm 9 years old, and I'm kind of rooting through all the books, and I found this nurse's health book. I ran into this nurse's health book. And I looked up eyelashes and eyelids in the index, couldn't find anything special. So I started just in the A's and B's, and I got down to cramps and C's. And I said, well, maybe it's a cramp. So I went to the page it said to look at, and it says calcium deficiency for muscle.
At 9 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, 9 years old. And we didn't have any television or anything like that back then, and so people were into reading. And so after school, I went home, and, of course, every morning before the bus would pick me up to go to school, one of my chores was to feed the calves out of a big bag of alfalfa pellets. And what else am I going to do at 4 in the morning? I read the analysis label, and one of the things in those alfalfa pellets were enriched with vitamins and minerals was calcium. So maybe that's it. And so I started eating handfuls of these alfalfa pellets that were enriched with vitamins.
Hold on right there, Joel. We'll come back with more of the story. Dr. Joel Wallach with us. He's part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team, which is linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. Here is a toll-free number for you if you need any information about yourself. Call 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Interesting series of commercials there. Let's go back to Dr. Joel Wallach. So, Joel, you're 9 years old, and you're feeding cows alfalfa tablets, and you notice, hey, there's calcium in this stuff.
Exactly right, George. And I began to take those things immediately right after school, eating handfuls of them. The next morning, I threw the breakfast cereal out into the chickens in the yard and began to pour milk on top of these alfalfa pellets that were enriched with vitamins, minerals, including calcium. And, of course, my mom was disturbed by all this. My dad said, well, let him try it. You know, what else? Nothing else is working. And so by the third day, my Tourette syndrome was gone. I mean, gone. It was perfectly normal after 5 years of getting worse and worse and worse.
Incredible.
So here I am. I'm 9 years old. And I figured out that that there's value in something as simple as vitamins and minerals. Now, maybe I had some divine guidance. I don't know. This is certainly not something a nine-year-old is going to figure out on their own. And I began mixing dog food and chicken food and all kinds of stuff with these alfalfa pellets. And the more that I ate of these commercially prepared animal feeds, the stronger I got. And I wrestled and played football and lettered in both football and wrestling in high school and lettered in wrestling at University of Missouri. And I have not been sick in 68 years. I've never been to the doctor.
Your energy level is absolutely astounding. I mean, where are you now? You're in a million cities.
Well, I just arrived in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was in Moncton. New Brunswick, which is 1,000 miles east of New York City. It's one of the furthest points, except for Prince Edward Island, or one of the most eastern portions of the North American continent. It actually has its own time zone. It's called Atlantic time. So when it's noon in New York, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Moncton. And I was up there for, I don't know, 5 days putting on seminars. And just came down to Charlotte, and I'll be just going down the East Coast, down into Georgia. And
you do a daily show, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, don't you, for a number of stations?
Yes, sir. I actually have two shows. One is called Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and then the second one right after that is called Let's Play Doctor. So I actually had to do 2 hours of radio Monday through Friday. Been doing it for 23 years, George.
Good for you. What do you find, Joel, when people come up to you at these events, what do they want to know about health? What seems to be the big question?
Well, invariably, there are diseases that are said to be degenerative diseases. You know, obviously, if somebody has bacterial pneumonia, they're in the hospital, they're getting intravenous antibiotics, which is the correct thing to do. But when you have chronic arthritis, you have lupus, you have high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, things like low thyroid, tendonitis, you have arthritis in your hips, people get on 27 prescription, relieve pain and inflammation. Say, look, I've been on these drugs for 20 years. My arthritis is slowly getting worse, and I'm afraid of surgery. What do I do? And basically, they're asking, is there another option to all these drugs and surgery? And the answer is yes. Now, we don't have health insurance for animals, George, and that made up the difference. Because we don't have health insurance for animals, there's no real benefit for veterinarians to say, look, you know, your bull has bone-to-bone arthritis in his hips. That's why he's not breeding your herd of cows. And for $180,000, I can give him 2 new hips, and you'll hear this gun shoot. Is the farmer shooting the bull? $180,000, he's not going to pay for that.
No way.
And so he can go to a sales barn and get a new one for $10,000, pretty good bull. Save himself $170,000. Well, in humans, we have health insurance. And so in animals, we figured out that if we feed them all these nutrients, 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids, that we can prevent, George, as many as 900 different diseases. We can triple lifespans. And so in the animal industry, went off in that direction. So we've solved all of our problems in the animal industry with vitamins, minerals, and amino acids and fatty acids. In humans, we've solved our problems with insurance and surgery and pharmaceuticals. And the animals have gotten a better deal. And so when I first started practicing, actually I was an advanced standing student, so I started my residency 2 years before I got my degree up in Portland, Oregon. And I began to treat my patients like dogs, but they get better.
Let's not take that literally, right?
Well, yeah, but I did it literally. And, of course, I thought that was funny because my veterinary degree from the University of Missouri was like 2 feet by 3 feet, and my degree when I got it from Naturopathic College was about half that size. And so when people come into my office, they'd see that veterinary degree first because it's so big, and they'd go, oh my gosh, am I in the right place? And of course, we're able to support the body's ability to heal itself. And the human body has the incredible ability to heal itself. What I've tapped into using the veterinary philosophy in prevention and reversal of diseases and have been able to apply this to human. It works in people as well as it does in animals.
Doc Wallach, how how are we fighting our environment with the body in terms of we're getting bombarded all the time with all kinds of things because of the environment, chemicals, you name it, it's coming at us. How big a problem is that?
Well, you're exactly right, George. And of course, we have chemicals, as you point out, in the food and the water. I mean, you drink water out of a tap, you're getting a pharmacy. You're getting everything from antibiotics. You're getting statin drugs, lower your cholesterol, in your drinking water. And we know that statin drugs will increase your risk of type 2 diabetes by 52%, increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease by 100%. Nobody should be on statin drugs. Painkillers like Vioxx, you may remember Vioxx, that was approved by the FDA, and that came out. And literally thousands of people died in America from heart attacks.
Oh, that was a disaster.
Off the market.
Yeah, that was a disaster. Now, they say that people with heart issues, statin drugs are better for them than not. What do you think about that?
That's absolutely positively a lie. Okay? Even the FDA says don't prescribe, tells doctors don't prescribe statin drugs anymore. You have to appreciate this goes back to the, oh gosh, it actually started in 1901 when the German Navy went to a German chemist and said, look, we need a lubricant for diesel engines for submarines. And so he made them an artificial lubricant. There was only 100 submarines back then, and so he wasn't making a lot of money. So he sold his patent for the submarine diesel engine lubricant to a manufacturer, a soap manufacturer in England, and they said, we can sell this as soap. And everybody's making their own soap back there, George, so yeah. Nobody could would buy this lubricant that they'd convert it to a soap. So Procter & Gamble bought it in 1924 from this English bunch, and they couldn't sell the soap because even back in the 1940s when I was a kid, we were making our own soap. I was helping Grandma make soap.
Nobody had money to buy soap.
Exactly true. And so Procter & Gamble said, well, we got to use this somehow. We paid a lot of money for the patent. We'll sell it as food. And remember, this is a diesel engine lubricant for submarines. So they actually started selling it as a food. And, of course, grandmas and sold it as a way to cook with. Okay, it was a shortening to cook and to fry with. And it was called Crisco.
Oh, I know about Crisco. My mom used to do that. And
yeah.
We always thought, this stuff doesn't break down. Whenever she was done cooking, and we helped her with the dishes, this stuff would cake up on the pans. And I'm looking at that, and I must have been about 10 or 11, Joel, in those days. I'm looking at this pan going, what's the inside of your body going to look like after you eat this stuff?
Well, you're on top of it, George. You're right, exactly right. And the short version of the story is, to sell Crisco, because they were having a struggle selling it. A few people would buy it. But Grandma still liked her lard and her cream and her butter. So there's a guy by the name of Ansel Keys who was on the board of Procter & Gamble that made Crisco, or bought the patent for Crisco, which is this diesel submarine engine lubricant. And he was also on the board of this brand-new fledgling professional organization called the American Heart Association. And he talked Procter & Gamble into giving the American Heart Association, this is a true story, it was a two full-page story in the Wall Street Journal about a year ago, as where I found out about it. I'd spent 35 years looking for this story, and I couldn't find it because I'm looking for it in scientific journals. Well, it turns out that Procter & Gamble, through Ansel Keys, gave the American Heart Association $1.7 million in exchange for an endorsement for Crisco's A Healthier Way to Eat.
And that was huge money then.
That was a lot. It's chump change now. It was a huge amount of money back then.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that nobody even knew who the American Heart Association was, and so a endorsement by them didn't mean anything, so that didn't help their sales. So this Ansel Keys was charged by Procter & Gamble to find some way to sell this Crisco. And to make a long story short, he came out with what he called the Seven Countries Diet. He went to Italy and Greece and France and Spain and Portugal in the island of Crete in the Mediterranean, and he came up with 75 guys in the Isle of Crete in the Mediterranean who are in their 80s and are still farming. He said, well, here's proof positive that their diet works for health. And that didn't mean much. It wasn't very sexy, Seven Countries Diet. So he changed the name, gospel true story, George. He changed the name to the Mediterranean Diet, which has become the mantra of health nuts. that the Mediterranean diet is the answer for all things. Eat whole grains, olive oil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was just a sales campaign to sell Crisco. There was never any studies that showed that the Mediterranean diet was good. In fact, the average lifespan of Italians is 62. There's one little island west of Italy, which the average lifespan is 85.
So what are they doing that the big island isn't doing?
Ah, well, it comes down to, by dumb luck, they have these nutrients in the soil, minerals in the soil, called rare earths that help you extend life. They actually double the lifespan of laboratory animals. And by dumb luck, these guys are putting wood ashes where trees grow in the soil
right.
And they pick up these rare earths, and they put these wood ashes from burning wood for fuel and put the wood ashes in their garden, and the plants are eating, and carrots and beets and corn and peas and tomatoes suck up these minerals. They eat that food, they get these minerals, and they live longer. It's just dumb luck. And it has nothing to do with olive oil, has nothing to do with whole grains. It was the fact that these rare earths, which actually increase your lifespan, by dumb luck, were in the soil where these people live. And yet today, George, the people who live the longest on Earth are the third world cultures that are illiterate and totally poor.
That's amazing.
Because they're still using wood for fuel and putting the wood ashes in their garden, and by dumb luck, they have these rare earths in their food.
Well, what is it about this planet, Joel, where you have these minerals all over the planet in its natural form, and the human body must have these nutrients in order to stay healthy, in order to survive? Why the partnership between the planet and the human body?
Well, what we learned in this big study I did with the NIH back in the 60s and 70s that produced that book that's in the Smithsonian Institute, 1,200 pages, was supposed to look for pollutants. And what I found out was that all vertebrates, George, whether you're a hummingbird or a crocodile or a human being or an elephant, require these 60 nutrients. Okay, 60 minerals, very important. Two-thirds of the 90 are minerals. Then there's the 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids. And unfortunately for us, nutritional minerals, George, do not occur in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. They occur in veins like chocolate and chocolate ripple ice cream. You can see that picture, chocolate and chocolate ripple ice cream. That's the way minerals occur. And you can eat the same recipe. We could feed everybody in the world the exact same food, but depending on where that food came from, will dictate how long they live and how healthy they're going to be.
That's
because
right.
In some areas, there's none of these rare earths. In some areas, the calcium is very low, and we know this in the United States. Around the Great Lakes, it's very well known. They used to teach this in school. I don't know if they teach it anymore. But around the Great Lakes, there's very little iodine, so people around the Great Lakes have more goiter, have more thyroid problems.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so that's when they began to put iodine in salt, iodized salt, so that would level the playing field for people who, you know, all vertebrates, including humans, require this iodine to prevent thyroid problems. Well, the same thing is true for selenium. And selenium deficiency will cause cardiomyopathy, heart disease, sudden heart death. Selenium deficiency will cause cystic fibrosis and muscular dystrophy. Selenium deficiency actually causes liver cirrhosis.
I had heard that if you got palpitations, heart palpitations, that if you took magnesium, it would go away. Is that true?
Well, for part of them, sometimes palpitations of the heart, oftentimes called atrial fibrillation, can be caused by a deficiency of minerals, not magnesium, sulfur, calcium.
Other things.
Other things, strontium, boron, which phosphorus, you're deficient in them, you get degenerative disc disease, your disc shrink, your vertebrae get closer together, and they smash the roots of the spinal nerves that come out from between your thoracic vertebrae, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that causes your heart to do flip-flops, because those nerves control the rate and rhythm of your heart. And doctors will run up a $500,000 bill by doing, you know, they'll insert things like pacemakers, defibrillators.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do ablations where they kill portions of your heart muscle trying to stop all this stuff. They'll do a retroversion where they electrocute you to death, hoping to reboot your heart rhythm. And when that doesn't work, and it's not going to work because it's a back problem, it's not a heart problem, they'll do a heart transplant, and it'll run up $500,000 worth of bills. It's really a back problem from mineral deficiencies.
Theoretically, if somebody just ate processed foods and never supplemented, didn't take vitamins, didn't take minerals, what do you think would happen to that person?
Well, we're actually seeing that now, George. People are dying younger and younger. Despite spending more money for health care than all the nations of the world combined, Americans are less healthy than we used to be, and our kids, and this is the scary part, George, even medical experts are saying our children will be the first American generation that do not live as long as their parents. And unless people change, they are going to be standing at a graveside burying the children. And here is the piece That's where it came out, drop-dead numbers. This came out April 16th, 2012. It was in the journal called Food Chemistry. And they look at, every month, they harvest food around America, and they look at the pollution load, which is my interest, why I read it, because I wrote the first paper in a mass die-off in America from pollution, published in 1962. It came out in 1961, the research did, when I was doing all these autopsies. And they said that, and they looked at the top eight baby farms, Gerber's, Enfamil, Similac, the ones who are very well respected, been around a long time. Many people your age and my age were raised on these things. And they said, our kids are in trouble because these commercially available baby foods contain less than 20% of the minerals and vitamins required by our babies. Dog food has 100%, George. Chicken food has 100%.
Is that amazing?
Laboratory rat food has 100%, and our babies, through these commercially available foods, have less than 20%.
Hey, what's going on with this avian flu killing off the chickens and turkeys? Have you been following that?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, when you great populations of these birds, you know, you're talking about tens of thousands, millions of birds in the same flock, hygiene isn't necessarily the best. These guys, you know, maybe taking care of these birds, came in from a trip to Japan mm-hmm. or Hong Kong, and they are coughed on by people in the airplanes. They're getting the bird flu, and they come there, and they're coughing, and they spread these viruses into the birds. The birds are very susceptible to it. That's what they call a bird flu, and they get it. And then you buy the chicken, and you prepare the chicken, and you get the viruses from the chicken.
Well, you better cook it well, I'm told.
Better cook it well. Exactly right. Don't burn it, but do cook it well.
Tom had a little party over at his house, producer Tom, and he had a little fireplace going. It was kind of a chilly L.A. day. And I noticed the ashes after he was done. And I'm saying, if he had a garden and he didn't, that would be a great fertilizer, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, but the one thing he won't know is how many of those 60 essential minerals are in there.
No, you don't know that. That's true.
You don't know that. But there will be some because the trees require minerals. They require three. They require three elements, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
But they may not be in that area where the tree is, right?
Well, no, they have to be there for the tree to grow. Those three have to be there.
Okay.
Okay, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. All the other ones, you got to chuckle a little bit, George, because people say, now you don't need to supplement with selenium because just eat two Brazil nuts, you'll get enough selenium. Well, Brazil nuts don't need selenium. And so you can't tell by eating a Brazil nut or looking at it whether or not it has selenium in there. And I'm not prepared to risk the life and health of my grandkids on the throw of the dice and whether or not there's
Good
going
point.
To be selenium in that Brazil nut. So I'm going to supplement my kids with all 90 essential nutrients, including all 60 essential minerals.
Joel, we're going to take this break, but we're going to come right back with you. We're with Dr. Joel Wallach. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, Critical Health News, toll-free number, where his staff is always there to help you at 1-855-949-RADIO.